we'll go to the budget in just a minute, but you know, we have today the forum with the Economic Outlook Conference with the three elected officials who serve us in Austin, two state reps and state senator. And obviously one of the things we're going to pick up is transportation.
Yes.
You know, that ended up being what caused him to stay in Austin for the extra long hot summer, because they needed to figure out what they were going to do to fund TxDOT. Obviously, transportation is something, you know, it doesn't matter what town you go to, you can see projects going on. We just finished with Briarcrest. Thank goodness that's over.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful?
It is. It's so nice to have now. And but we have different things that go on, and obviously there needs to be a wish list for every area. And mm-hmm. I know that you're very active when it comes to transportation, not only in maintaining what we have here, but also kind of what our wish list is. Tell us a little bit about how the because you're part of the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how they score their projects so we can know why such and such is number one, this is number two, and this is number three.
Well, we have a technical advisory committee who actually does all the scoring. You know, we're an MPO, Bryan College Station, Brazos Valley, because we are an area that has more than 50,000 population, and it's mandated federally. And we have an executive director here, Brad McCaleb. We have representatives from College Station, that's Mayor Berry, from University, Dwayne Peters, our county judge, sits on that, and also Catherine Hale, the TxDOT district engineer for here. And basically the MPO is the planning body that decides on how to spend the federal funds that come here. This doesn't have anything to do with local money, but it has everything to do with just the federal funds that that come into the state. It's a really good thing because it keeps local entities involved in how the transportation dollars are actually spent.
So how do you actually then score those areas that you identify as being the ones that need the most help?
Well, the Technical Advisory Committee is the one, is the group that does that. You know, their wish list a mile long. Everybody has something, each city, the county, we all have things that we want to have done. But the technical committee, the technical advisory committee, takes a look at the wish list, and they determine, they prioritize these projects in the what are the most important projects that need to be funded. And it's not that we don't get just a boatload of money. We have a limited amount of funds, and so we have to use our money wisely, very judiciously.
Now, that's on the federal level, but basically the same thing on the state. There's state money out there to redo Briarcrest. That's a state highway, so
it's
people know
highway,
that.
It's a state highway, but that was one of the projects at the MPO.
Right.
Participated in. Now, about $6 million on that.
What's ranked number one right now as far as need to get done?
Well, Rock Prairie Road is probably one of the most important things that we have in our area, and it's being funded to the tune of about $9 million. And that's one of the interesting things about the MPO. Although I represent the city of Bryan, Mayor Berry represents the College Station, the city of College Station, when we all get together, we take our respective hats off, and we try to do what is best for the entire region. Because what's good for College Station in the way of transportation, or what's good for Bryan in the way of transportation, is going to benefit the entire area. And as an MPO, we don't just look at moving vehicles. It is something we look at, how to move bicycles, pedestrians, transit. Everything is taken a look at by the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Of course, that opens the door to a lot of stuff. For instance, we have a bus system here. It's hard to get mass transit moving in Texas. We're not used to it. You know, you go to the Northeast, and they've been doing it for years. It's a regular thing. Here, it's still kind of a new deal.
It is. It's hard to get Texans out of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just like our independence, and it is very hard to get us out of our cars. Another thing is we're so spread out. It's not like the Northeast, where everything is very compact, and it's easy to hop on a transit bus and go somewhere. It's just totally different here
well,
in
the
state.
So people know, obviously, there's a hub and spoke, too. You've got to get the train may stop someplace, but then you have to disperse those people in the population.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have 107-degree temperatures up there in Boston very often, and so it's a little bit different world for them. Talk to me a little bit about tolling, because it seems that TxDOT is sending a message that we want to give you some of the money, but you're going to have to come up with some yourself. And in larger areas, they can toll.
Mm-hmm.
do we have any tolling operators? I mean, I know we, former County Judge Randy Sims mentioned that T-O-L-L, and that was a nasty word, and went out to Welborn and heard an earful from those people in southern Brazos County. So where are tolling opportunities, if any, in Brazos County that might allow us to be able to have something to put in the pot along with TxDOT money?
I'm not sure. There is a great deal of opportunity for tolling at this point. It may be something that we'll look at in the future. But right now, I don't see it as a really a viable option.
Let's take it now to the city level. That's one of the things that's really neat about this is we have two cities that have transportation needs, and sometimes they're pushed for different reasons. And Bryan now is doing some geographic growth that has not happened in a long time, yet you've also got infrastructure that has to be taken care of. College Station being a newer city, while they have infrastructure, they have this big university that has to have buses going around on its streets, so they've got some challenges as well. But tell me from the Bryan perspective now, what you think are some of the top projects from a transportation standpoint that need to be addressed?
Well, as you mentioned, we do have all these new areas that are opening up, and we have to be prepared for those. So, you know, there are the infrastructure needs, and it's challenging to stay ahead of the curve right now. It's very exciting to see all the new growth that is taking place, but as a city, it does present extra challenges for us, you know, like on the west side of town, all of that growth that we're seeing over there. It does take a lot of planning. We have an excellent planning staff, a transportation staff. Dale Pica is my go-to guy when I'm talking MPO, and he just won an award, the Excellence in Transportation Award at the Transportation and Infrastructure Conference in Irving last week. So we have really good staff who are helping us plan and prepare for the growth.
Well, and beyond just new areas opening up, when the new Walmart opens, that's going to change traffic patterns as well. People will now travel in different ways and in different directions than
that's
did before
true.
That store opens up.
And I guess you've noticed the big the overpass and all the work that's going on over there,
right.
And it's definitely needed.
Yep, it is. And again, 5 years from now, we'll say, isn't this nice? But right now, we're all going,
it's painful.
Oh, yeah, I got to go through
all
that stuff.
All of the construction, that's one of the biggest challenges that we have when we start talking about growth and changing, improving our infrastructure. It's just the annoyance, the inconvenience of all that progress.
Sure. Ann Horton joining us this morning from the City of Bryan. Let's kind of turn our attention to the budget then, because you're right in the middle of the budgetary process. Property values are going up. That's a good thing. Sales tax is revenue is going up. That's a good thing. And so hopefully you can start going in and funding some areas that maybe have had to suffer a little bit. Obviously, Bryan went through an austerity program a few years ago.
And it's helped a lot.
It did.
It's
it
made
helped.
All the difference in what we're able to do now.
Yeah. So what are we able to do now?
We're able to lower the tax rate. The council's going to be considering lowering the tax rate by 0.5%. This is the second year in a row that we have been able to do that. And like you mentioned, the austerity program that we went through, it was kind of painful, but it has allowed us to lower that. We do have our budget in good shape. And one of the benefits is that we are going to be adding 10 first responders. You know, even cutting our tax rate, we are still able to add these 10 first responders. I think one of the interesting things about lowering our tax rate is that even though we are lowering the tax rate, our taxes, the amount, the revenue that we get in is going to go up. And that's because of all the new construction, and it's also because of property values going up. So I want people to understand that when you see the ads that we are required by state law to put in the paper, that our taxes are increasing, please understand that it's our tax revenue that's increasing. Your tax rate is going down by 0.5% per $100 valuation.
Yeah, need to know that. Tomorrow, Jason Barfnik joins us, I think, and apparently some pretty good news there, too, in that there probably will not be rates that will be going up, and that's something.
We're always glad to be able to tell people about that.
whenever that happens. But at the same time, it is a city on the grow, and there are going to be some needs there that are going to have to be met, and part of that, I know, will probably have to be in the water infrastructure, and Jason will speak to that tomorrow, but still, you will need to do some infrastructure long-range planning as well.
Absolutely.
Now, that's as far as that goes, where do you see the forecast for Bryan as we move, you know, 3-4 years down the road? What are the areas where we're going to have the biggest growth, you think?
Oh, gee.
From an infrastructure standpoint.
From an infrastructure standpoint, just the outlying areas. And then, of course, we've got challenges within the older parts of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always having to go in and make changes there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, it's an exciting time. Anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our audience this morning?
Oh, I came with my stack of stuff.
There
so
you go.
Left out a whole lot.
Okay, let's go.
Bryan
yeah.
is being recognized for all the good things that are happening. Forbes has ranked the Bryan College Station area number 5.
Mm-hmm,
A new thing that came out. I'm not familiar with Nerd Wallet.
No, I don't know Nerd Wallet either. Congressman Flores mentioned today that that Bryan is one of the most employable cities, or you know, it's a great place to come to go to
How
work.
How about that? I already knew that, but I'm really happy that these places that actually can get the word out are recognizing how great a place this is.
Well, I want to keep it a secret to some extent. I like it some, but you know, at the same time, we don't want our secret to necessarily get out too much.
Because it won't be too fun if everybody moves here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, as Yogi Berra said, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You know, we would do that. But what else? Anything else of interest for you?
Yes, we have Texas Reds coming up. Don't want to forget that September 27th and 28th. And remember, if you would like to volunteer to help with Texas Reds, we would love to hear from you. Go to our website, bryantx.gov, and volunteer. And remember that the proceeds this year are going to our firefighters.
All right, we will do that. That's Ann Horton here from the City of Bryan. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.